哈利路亚，大家平安。
Hallelujah, peace to everyone.
在我们开始今天晚上的敬拜跟讲习会之前，一同预备心，同心默祷。
Let's all bow our hands and pray in silence before tonight's Bible seminar.
阿门。奉主耶稣圣名，开始我们今天晚上的圣经讲习会。
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we begin tonight's Bible seminar.
我们先一起来唱诗，赞美诗133首。
Let's sing hymn together 133.
哈利路亚！再一次向我们在 San Jose 这里会堂里面聚集诸位主所亲爱的大家问安。
Hallelujah! Peace again to all the brothers and sisters who gather here in our Lord's temple today.
感谢主，让我们平安地进入第二晚我们举开的圣经讲习会。
Thank God that we're in the second night of the Bible seminar today.
这次用短短三个晚上的时间跟大家来查考新约圣经的希伯来书。
This time I'd like to use a three session to study the New Testament book of Hebrew.
我们昨天讲到了这一卷经文的特色。
So yesterday we talked about the characteristic of this book.
我们也谈到了这一卷经文呢的一些争论。
We also touched upon some of the disputes in this book.
最重要就是这一卷经文是给谁读的。
And most importantly, who is this book written intended for?
所以我们从经文的内证里面内部的证据。
So that from the evidence within the book,
我们发觉这个希伯来书是给信主一段时间的老信徒、一般的弟兄姐妹读的。
We realize that this book is intended for those brothers and sisters who's been believing for a little while.
今天我们要开始进入分段。
So today we'd like to divide this book into a few different sections.
我们现在小弟带大家哈，没有办法。一节一节的念过。
It's impossible for me to read all the verses one by one tonight.
但是我想用一个方法，我在台湾一直用了哈。我带大家，给大家一点时间来看呐。
So I'd like to use one way which I used in Taiwan, which is to give you some time for you to read the Bible verses yourself.
那这样比较能够增加印象。
And this way we can have a deeper understanding impression of the Bible verses.
那个总共希伯来书13章，小弟把它分为有八个重点。
There are a total of 13 chapters in this book, and I summarized 8 key points.
然后有两大段落。
There are two big main sections.
不过现在我带着大家看，等一下再把这个答案再整理出来。
So I'd like to read with you and later share the answer for you.
首先第一个重点是希伯来书的第一章跟第二章。
The first key point is chapter 1 and 2.
不管你看的是哪一个版本哈。
No matter which version that you're reading.
现在小弟给你一分钟左右，我不吵你，你看重点，看很快或看里面的人家的黑字提醒都没关系。
I'll give you 1 minute for you to read through this quickly. You can focus on the key points.Whatever you would like to do.
你可以找两个，一个是这两章里面有哪一个经节你认为最重要，包含了这两章所在讲的。
First thing you want to pay attention to is which verse you think is the most important verses here.
第二个，这两章在比较什么？
And secondly, what are these two chapters comparing?
好，还有45秒，不吵大家，大家好好看一看，想一想。
Let's read through this real quick.
好，大概在10秒哈。
Ten more seconds.
好，那就先看到这里了哈。
We'll go stop here.
好，大家觉得头两章除了耶稣之外，我们就不讲耶稣哈，因为耶稣基督本来就是整个圣经，尤其是新约各章卷的主题。
Of course, Jesus is the key for all the chapters here.
除了耶稣基督之外，在第一章跟第二章里面很常提到一个，大家觉得看到了什么
？Besides Jesus, there's one name that's mentioned very often in the first two chapters. What is it?
啊，儿子，好，谢谢你。
Son,
还有没有
？Anything else?
啊？哦，天使，好。
Angel?
还有没有
？Anything else?
讲错没有关系啊，我昨天讲过，我绝对不会生气骂人的。
It's okay to make a mistake.
好，那我们把握时间哈、哦。对，这个第一章跟第二章有一个字眼，大家记得在解经学里面。有其中一个要点。
Remember, there's a key when we interpret the Bible.
当你在所选的这一段经文里面反复读之后，如果有哪一个字眼一直重复出现次数最多的，那个你要特别去注意跟查考。
When you read the Bible, when you notice a word that's been repeated many times, you should pay close attention to this.
所以头两章除了耶稣基督之外，一直提到天使、使者，有没有？
When we see that the first two chapters kept on mentioning the word angel.
你看哦，从其实这两章啊，就是在拿耶稣基督跟天使做比较。
In fact, these two chapters are comparing Jesus to angel.
我们来看那个从第一章，我们来看第二章最后了。
Let's look at chapter two, the end of chapter two.
我们一直到二章的十六节，请看二章十六节。
Chapter 2, verse 16.
一直比到二章十六节，还在提说他并不救拔天使，乃是救拔亚伯拉罕的后裔。请念。
Hebrew chapter 2, verse 16. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants.
所以到这里呀、啊，一直到这里都还在提天使。
And kept on mentioning angels here.
那我们来问一下，为什么希伯来书的作者？要先把天使摆在第一个比较。
So wonder why the author here put angel as the first comparison?
因为天使在犹太人的传统，甚至现在某些基督教的派别里面，占了非常重的分量。
Because angel is a very key point in Jewish tradition, or even in some Christian traditions.
大家知道我们昨天在提到所谓的西方罗马教会，就是天主教会。
Yesterday we mentioned Western culture, the Roman Catholic Church.
他们甚至对整个天使的系统跟阶层研发出一套学问，叫做天使学。
And they have developed a whole system of study about angel, how the hierarchy of angels.
所以，如果你没有到欧洲参观过天主教的会堂，有没有去过
？If you've been to Europe to see those Catholic churches,
你会发现里面除了圣母跟圣子之外，有很多的使徒，还有很多的天使，有没有发现
？You see that in besides the Jesus and Mary, there are many, many different kinds of angels.
这不止在我们新约时代的基督教。不只在我们新约时代的基督教。
It's not only in Christianity here in the New Testament.
在以色列人跟犹太人的传统里面，他们非常看重天使。
In Jewish or old Christian tradition, they pay attention to angels.
所以你在旧约经文里面到处可以看见神的使者跟天使的大能跟威力，有没有
？That's why in the Old Testament you see the power performed by the angels.
天使本来就是超乎我们人类。另外一种灵界的存在
，Angels are a being that's beyond our human.
它的能力跟存在是暂时我们人类是比它还小，比它还没有能力的。
Temporarily, our humans are below that of the level of the angels.
你看，它可以行神迹
，Angels are able to perform miracles.
它甚至一个天使一个晚上就可以灭掉十几万的亚述军队
，You've seen that
跟核子弹一样啊
，kill a 100,000 enemies in one night.
所以在希伯来人的观念里面，天使是除了众先知之外最尊贵的存在。
We know that in the old Jewish tradition, angels are a very noble being.
甚至在以色列人的传统当中，旧约经文里面记载，这些很多先知是经由天使来启示的。
And many of the revelation are told to us by through angels.
所以希伯来书的作者第一个当然就是要拿耶稣基督跟以色列人传统里面他们最尊贵的、最全能的天使来做比较。
That's the reason why the author here, put forth the comparison between Jesus and the most noble thing, which is angel.
所以第一二章，哎，其实不止哦。我们看，即使到新约，连最标准的基督徒，也就是使徒，也难免受影响。
Yeah, we can see that even the most admired Christian, those the disciples, they also are influenced by angels.
不晓得大家有没有印象？因为我没有办法再带大家翻经文了。我今天晚上要讲很多，一个小时。
I don't know if you know, if you remember, but because we do not have time to go to all the verses.
哥罗西书的经文里面有没有说有人在敬拜天使？有印象吗？
They mentioned that people are worshiping angels.
你不要说那些信仰不好的哦。到启示录里面，请问写启示录的是谁？
And even in the book of Revelation, do you remember who the author is for Revelation?
使徒约翰，对不对？
John.
使徒约翰遇到天使来找他，他明明知道不可以拜，他有没有忍不住就跪下去要拜他？有没有这个印象？我们不要翻了。
When angel came to see him, he even though he knew not to worship him, but he couldn't. He just knelt down and worship him anyways.
所以，如果再来几天我做见证的话，我告诉你，天使绝对不是小朋友那个样子啊。
If I tell you some.Testimony, I tell you for sure that angels do not look like children.
因为我见过天使。
Because I have seen them, in my own eyes.
很可怕的。
It's very scary. 所以
你会像但以理这么敬虔，像使徒约翰这么敬虔，一看到他明明知道不可以跪，还是忍不住跪下去的，然后人性的软弱。
This is the human weakness. When you see them, even though you're not supposed to worship them, but you can't help but to kneel down.
启示录里面那个天使有没有马上跟使徒约翰说，你不可以拜我，因为我跟你一样是同是做仆人的，还记得吧？
不翻了哦。The angel tells tells John that don't worship me because we're all worshiping God together.
我们自然而然会去崇拜跟敬拜那比我们更有威权的、更有大能力的，这就是人性的软弱。
Very naturally, we tend to worship those who are above us, higher than us. This is a part of the human weakness.
这是之所以圣灵借着希伯来书的作者把这个摆为第一个重点的原因，必须要破除。
And this is the reason why the author of book Hebrew put angel as the first priority, because we need to get rid of this stereotype.
所以刚才小弟请大家找一二章，如果你找一到两节左右，成为叫做 key verse。你会觉得哪一个是 key verse?
So what do you think the key verses are in the first two chapters?
好，就是一章四节，我们来看哈。
Let's read chapter one, verse four.
他所承受的名，既比天使的名更尊贵，就远超过天使。Amen. 请念。
Chapter one, verse four. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to others. Theirs.
这就是。第一章跟第二章的总结就在这里先讲了。
And this is the key conclusion of the two chapters.
第一个重点告诉我们，耶稣基督超越所有的天使，这个结论先记起来。
So the first conclusion is that Jesus Christ is superior to all angels. Remember this conclusion.
好，那我们现在进入第二个重点，请大家看第三章跟第四章。
Now let's move on to the second key point in chapter three and four.
那我给大家再看一分钟，你试着很快看过去或。随便看或看重点，你觉得这在拿耶稣基督跟谁比较
？Again, I'll give you a minute. See, who is this Bible comparing Jesus to?
在三十秒哈。
30 seconds.
好，那我们先看到这里哈。来，大家觉得第三章是在拿什么东西做比较
？So which is author using to compare to Jesus in chapter three？
哦，有人讲出来了哈。对，就是一开始三章前面那几节讲的摩西。
Answer is Moses。
可是你们说传道摩西只有三章前几节讲到。三章后半跟第四章好像没有一直提到摩西，对不对
？Moses is only mentioned in the first few verses in chapter three, and was never mentioned again later.
来，第四章跟第三章后半好像在讲一些道理。
It seems like the second half of chapter three and chapter four are talking about some key points.
请想一想，这些道理，这些道理的来源跟引用。是不是摩西那个时候发生的事，同时在里面的事，旷野里面，你有没有发觉
？Then you realize that those teachings are actually happened during Moses' time in the desert wilderness.
对，所以他是借着摩西在讲摩西的比较，接下来开始讲到了摩西那个时候发生的一些重要的事情，再补充一点道理，就是三四章。
So as a summary, chapter three and four are talking about Moses and the things that happened during the wilderness.To teach some teachings here.
那我们再想一想，为什么一二章摆天使，三四章要摆摩西？
So、now,
这个顺序怎么出现的
？Why did he mention angel in the first two chapters and then Moses in the second two chapters?
要想这个，要从希伯来人以色列人的传统下去想。
Then you should think about from the point of view of the Jewish tradition.
因为在以色列人的传统里面呢、啊，除了非人类的天使之外，在他们的心里面最伟大的人物是谁
？Because in the tradition, besides the angel who are not human, who is the greatest human?
除了他们自己的先祖亚伯拉罕之外，除了神之外
，besides Abraham or God，
在我们历史学家哈，大家知道吗？历史学家归类为现在犹太教的创始者是谁？你们知道吧
？Historians classify the modern founder for the Jewish faith. Do you know who that is?
亚伯拉罕是我们的祖先。
Abraham is the ancestor.
所以犹太教的创始者就是我们最伟大的先知，叫做摩西，这样知道吗
？So Jewish faith claim Moses is the greatest founder.
希伯来人就是这样想的，所以在所有的先知里面，摩西最伟大，神跟他面对面称他为朋友的。
So in Hebrew tradition, Moses is the greatest because God referred to him as a friend.
我们今天所有的诫命、典章、律例，全部是神借由他留给我们的。
Because all the laws and regulations are given to us through him by God.
所以当然，在很多希伯来人的心目中，他会把摩西跟耶稣拿出来做比较。那耶稣算什么东西？就是这样子嘛。
That's the reason why many people will wonder and compare.Jesus to Moses and wonder what who Jesus was.
所以在所有人里面，必须拿出来第一个比较的就是摩西。
So out of all the human, the first person you need to pick to compare to Jesus is Moses.
好，那关键的 verse， 我们来看三章三节。
So the key verse here is in chapter 3 and verse 3.
他比摩西算是更配多得荣耀，好像建造房屋的比房屋更尊荣。Amen。
Chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as builder of the house has greater honor than the house itself.
好了，第三节这第一个字，这个 subject， 它指的是什么？就是前面那两节讲的耶稣基督啊。
So the first subject in chapter 3 mentioned is Jesus that was mentioned earlier in two chapters.
所以这两章的结论也先出来了。
So we have the conclusion here.
耶稣基督他是远远超过以色列人心目中最伟大的先知摩西，就是这三四章在讲的。为什么
？Which is Jesus is far greater than Moses, who is considered the greatest human by the Jewish people.
好，那我们来看第三个重点，希伯来书第三个重点。
The third key point of the book of Hebrews.
这个范围就比较多了。
And this covers a larger section.
五六七三章在讲第三个重点。
Five, six, and seven, talking about the third.Key point.
虽然比较多，小弟再给大家一分钟，稍微看一下、想一下，试看看你能不能找出重点在哪里。
I'll give you one more minute, see if you can find the key point here.
五六七三章。
In chapters five, six, and seven.
好，再三十秒哦。
30 seconds。
好，我们先看到这里。
Stops here.
你们觉得五六七三章在主要在讲什么
？So what do you think these three chapters are about?
啊，不要害羞啊。
Don't be shy.
在讲什么？对，祭司。我带大家看哦，因为这里面有一点转折比较难，我带大家思考。
Twist here. It's a little bit harder.
有没有从第五章第一节这里一开始就讲？凡从人间挑选的大祭司，是奉派替人办理属神的事。好，所以从这里开始讲到人间的大祭司。
Here in verse one talks about the priest in among us, among men.
然后从这个大祭司讲到从第七节到第十一节，讲到大祭司，就必须讲到创世纪当中一个很奇妙的大祭司。叫做麦基洗德，有没有
？Talking about the priest, then we have to talk about the very unique priest in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis.
好，这个麦基洗德哈，明天小弟会讲得更清楚。他其实是一个称谓，但是他是希伯来文的哈 ，Melech Tzedek 就是公义王的意思。好，那反正都讲到这个麦基洗德啦。
So we're talking about this priest whose name is Melchizedek. It's a very interesting caricature.
本来希伯来书的作者有感动，就是讲到大祭司，就跟你们，他有神的启示，他想要讲解明白创世纪里面出现的这一个大祭司。
So the author here wanted to clearly tell us what this Melchizedek was about.
转折点在哪里？大家看十一节。
Where's the turning point that was in verse 11?
好，论到麦基洗德，我们有好些话，并且难以解明，因为你们听不进去。你们请念。
Verse 11 says, "We have so much to say about this, but it's hard for to explain because you were slow to learn."
本来他要感动了，要讲麦基洗德，突然心里面出现了一些事情。
With the movement of the Holy Spirit, he wants to say something about Melchizedek, but yet something happened.
大家觉得这个作者心里面突然想到什么
？What do you think that all of a sudden that occurred to this author?
他想到说，现在在读信的，就好像在听到你这些很多弟兄姐妹。
The audiences are just like us who's sitting here.
你们当中有些人现在啊，根本不关心这个。他的意思是这样子啊。你们关心的自己生活当中的患难，你们生活当中的问题，所以这些问题应该比较不重要。
Most of us care about what we're going through in our daily lives, and those are not that important.
我们应该更去理解道理最深奥的地方，抓住核心才对。
What we need to focus on is the key points in our learning. We need to grasp upon it.
本来这个。我告诉你哦，这个明天讲，这个牵涉到希伯来书的神观呐。
Tomorrow we'll spend a lot of time on this, and this is a very profound mystery.
希伯来书的作者借着麦基洗德要讲神观呐，哦，这个很重要哦。
And through this Melchizedek, the author wanted to clarify the about God.
突然一转，觉得说你们当中有些人听不进去。
And all of a sudden, he turned because he thought many of his audience would not understand what's going on here.
因为他说，在这些人当中有一些软弱，所以一转过来，第六章后面本来要讲不讲了，变成在讲他关心弟兄姐妹的软弱。
And so that's why in chapter 6, all of a sudden, the author turned. He started to care about the weakness of among brothers and sisters.
我小弟举个例啦，哈。
Let me give you an example.
所以他后来有讲到。 到比如说我们看六章一节好了。
Let's look at verse 1 of chapter 6.
所以我们应当离开基督道理的开端，竭力进到完全的地步。 Amen.
Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity.
大家想一想，他觉得这些弟兄姐妹的软弱在哪里？
So what do you think those weaknesses are among the brothers and sisters?
因为你们都早已经知道基督道理了。
Because we already knowThe teaching about Jesus Christ.
我们应该更去什么叫开端，就是要有信心啦，要多祷告啦，要交托主啦，不要被患难影响啦，这些都是道理的开端。
What are the beginning of the teaching? Because we all know that they're teaching us the good things and not to be led astray by bad teaching.
我们可以去找出圣经里面更多神要我们领受的，要进步才对呀。
However, we need to keep on looking deeper, find out what the Bible is trying to teach us.
可是希伯来书的作者一想到说，好多人还在这个开端这里，还在那边打滚，离不开啊。
However, when the author realized many of the members here are still pretty rudimentary, so he decided to not to do that.
如果比如说你现在关心的是身体有没有生病，孩子教育问题，然后经济问题，都是在关心这个。
If you care about what was your daily worries, your health, your education for the kids, or your financial problems.
然后突然一个传道来说，来，我今天跟你们分享启示录当中的十架神学，你有没有兴趣？
Now all of a sudden a pastor come over to teach you about the theology in Revelation, would you be interested?
啊，跟哪里启示录了，对吧？对啊，就你讲你的启示录，我关心的是我等一下祷告回去我的身体会不会健康一点？我的孩子会不会听话一点？我的经济会不会改善？还在这个道理的开端，你懂吗
？Maybe I'm talking about revelation, but you are thinking about what you're going to do later when you go home about your health or your kids' education or your financial trouble.
所以希伯来书的作者就这样，他突然一想就不讲了，转回来讲说啊，我们不要这个样子，我们应该怎样怎样。这就是第六章在讲的内容。
And this is the reason why chapter 6 spends so much, ink on the troubles in our daily lives.
所以五六七三章是一个范围。
So chapter 5, 6, and 7 is a section.
可是第六章等于是多出来的补充跟提醒，大家再回去多读几遍啊。
Chapter 6 is only an extra mention.
那为什么补充跟提醒？突然想到弟兄姐妹当中很多是软弱的，所以再一次提醒，再一次补充。
The reason why it's here because the author realized many of the brothers and sisters are kind of weak, so that's why it was here.
而且第六章前面那几节讲得很严重，有没有？很严重。
And the first few verses in chapter 6 is very severe.
可是这个希伯来书的作者可能觉得自己讲话讲得太闲了，不晓得会不会翻了。我昨天有讲啊，讲得太沉重了。
Maybe the author thought those verses are too heavy.Too hard to swallow.
大家读这个经文，要读出希伯来书作者那种圣灵的感动跟心理的转变。
So when we read this book, we should try to understand the inner thinking of the author.
有没有一到八节讲很沉重的道理
？Verses 1 through 8 talking about very heavy teaching.
告诉我们说，如果尝过天恩滋味，在故意离弃神的话，就没有重新懊悔的机会了。大家听的真的是。很难过啊！现在很多人听不下去啊。
If you fall away after you taste the heavenly, then you go away, then it'd be very difficult for you to receive the salvation.
然后突然，希伯来书的作者心又软了，看大家愁眉苦脸的不忍心，所以第九节语气又转回来了。有没有感受到第九节
？And then when the author realized that this is kind of hard on the member, so starting from verse 9, he changed his tone again.
就好像我们的如果儿子很不听话，
just like
骂几句，看他很难过，看他这么伤心，哦，我再讲几句安慰的话，就这样子。
If our son is very rebellious, we'll rebuke him. After a while, when he's sad, we'll say a few words of comfort.
第九节说，亲爱的弟兄们，我们虽是这样说，却深信你们的行为强过这些，而且近乎得救。
Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we're confident of better things in your case.
前面讲那一堆好像都没办法得救了，突然第九节说，啊，不会不会啦，我深信你们会得救了，这安慰一下，你晓得吗？
Verse 8 says, it's impossible for you to receive salvation. Then in verse 9 it says, It's not that bad after all.
好，第六章补充完，该提醒的也提醒，该说重话的也说重话，安慰安慰，又拉回原来的主题，又接上了。
So after he tried to comfort the weak members in chapter 6, then in chapter 7, it went back to its main theme.
有没有？他前面五章十节十一节本来就是要讲麦基洗德，从祭司系统讲到麦基洗德。
So in chapter 5 was talking about priests and then the Melchizedek.
中断之后，现在补充完了，他觉得还是要讲，所以从六章的二十节一直到七章前面，继续把他本来要讲的话又衔接上来了。好，大家发现是这样子哦。
So after a shortdetour, then starting from verse 20 in chapter 6, it came back to Melchizedek again.
好，然后从这个麦基洗德延续到祭司利未人的系统，这就是第七章后面在讲的。
And then from Melchizedek went on to talk about the Leviticus, the system of worshiping.
这在比什么呢？
And what is this comparing to?
那大家看那个第七章后面有没有讲很多祭司、利未人跟献祭的事情
？And the second half of chapter 7 talks about the Leviticus, how they sacrifice and how they worship.
然后一直到二十节更直接啦，把耶稣跟祭司扯上关联，开始做比较了。
And verse 20 is very clear that is comparing Jesus to the priests.
好，大家注意一下哦。哦，你现在可能有点乱，我整理一下。扣掉第六章这个补充，中间感动补充的，扣掉这一部分。
So let's try to clarify a little bit. Let's take away chapter 6 because this is meant to be a supplementary.
第五章前半段一直到第七章，它的脉络是怎么样
？So what is the main theme for this chapter 5 and 7?
先讲到大祭司。
First, it talk about the priest.
然后大祭司就想到创世纪那一个谜样的大祭司麦基洗德。
And then from the concept of priest, then talk about Melchizedek in Genesis.
然后从谜样的大祭司麦基洗德讲到祭司利未人跟这个麦基洗德之间的比较。
And then it talk about comparison between Melchizedek and the Leviticus. Leviticus priests.
这个比较很有趣。我们来看第七章的第五节。
Which is quite interesting because let's read chapter 7, verse 5.
纳德祭司职任的利未子孙领命照例向百姓取十分之一。这百姓是自己的弟兄，虽是从亚伯拉罕身中生的，还是照例取十分之一。第六节，独有麦基洗德不与他们同谱，到收纳亚伯拉罕的十分之一，为那蒙应许的亚伯拉罕祝福。第七节，从来位分大的给位分小的祝福，这是驳不倒的理。Amen。好，麻烦你。
Hebrew chapter 7 verses 5 through 7. Now the law requires descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is their brothers, even though their brothers are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descendant from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person is blessed by the greater.
好，各位，你看哦，这几节是很有趣的，我们叫做学问里面的三段论证。
This is a very interesting deduction.
因为要向希伯来人解释说耶稣跟利未人祭司哪一个比较超越
？Because the author tried to explain to the Jewish people who is greater between Jesus and their priests.
那他们会说这怎么比呀？耶稣根本不是利未支派的嘛。
Jesus is not even a descendant from the Levi tribe.
那么耶稣是哪个支派的
？Which tribe did Jesus come from?
犹大支派有没有？
Judah tribe.
耶稣在希伯来人的观念里面，他不是利未支派，他根本不能称为祭司啊！问题就在这里了。
See, according to Jewish tradition, because Jesus came from Judah tribe, so cannot be a priest.
所以这个作者在跟希伯来人解释：好，在我拿耶稣跟祭司做比较之前，我问你们，祭司利未人跟麦基洗德谁比较大？
So before the author tried to compare Jesus to the priest, he asked the audience which one is greater between Melchizedek and the priest.
然后他们就可能会讲一句我们台语哥哥，你这七里到去北，就是根本是乱接嘛，没有关系嘛，连不同时代嘛。
The audience may think this is just very far-fetched because they're all different times.
有麦基洗德这个大祭司的时候，利未人出现了没有？
Because at the time of Melchizedek, the Levites were not even there.
那利未人是谁的曾孙子？
利
未是谁的曾孙子？
Grandchildren of someone.
对，亚伯拉罕，他很厉害哦。
Abraham.
所以他这几节就是说，亚伯拉罕向这个麦基洗德献十分之一，有没有一开始提到这个？
So Abraham, took 10% of his earning to Melchizedek.
所以后面说，是位份大的来为位份小的祝福。那请问是麦基洗德祝福亚伯拉罕，是亚伯拉罕祝福麦基洗德？
So if the greater blesses the lesser, so who is the greater person here?
麦基洗德大过亚伯拉罕，对不对？
So we can see that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham.
那你看那个经文叫做生中生的，有没有？第五节。
In verse 5.
第五节中间，我不晓得你们英文版下面有没有小字啊？
Says through their brother are descended from Abraham.
原文是在他腰中。
The original language is from his waist.
我觉得这个真的很有趣。
This is very interesting.
我不晓得你们中间有没有那个汉医中医啊？ 有没有学过汉医跟中医师的？
There are people who are Chinese medicine doctors.
那个，因为小弟哈也学过中医，中医的腰。Kidney 啊，不是西医的 kidney， 你们知道吧
？In Chinese medicine, even though the word is the same, kidney is not our waist.
西医的 kidney 就是一个 organ， 一个器官，哈，泌尿系统啊。
Medicine, kidney is just one not many organs we have.
中医讲的腰肾，我不晓得你们有没有听过哈，就是男人的生殖力跟他的肾功能有关，有没有听过这种讲法？
In Chinese
汉医里面、啊。
Medicine,the tradition in for a man, the reproduction function is related to this waist or kidney.
所以汉医里面的肾水不是指的那个器官，而是指整个生殖系统，那是汉医的观念啊。
So therefore, in Chinese medicine, that word waist or kidney refers to a man's reproductive system.
所以希伯来书七章五节特别有趣，因为汉医跟希伯来人的医学应该没有交流过。
I'm sure there's nothing in related between Chinese medicine and Jewish medicine.
可是那个观念无形当中却一样，在他们的观念里面呐、啊，希伯来人传统医学腰跟肾也是管生殖的，有读出来吗
？Yet it's kind of interesting here that in traditional Jewish language, the word or body or waist is also responsible for man's reproductive system.
所以呀、啊，他是说，亚伯拉罕向麦基洗德献祭的时候，他也跟他孙呐、啊，他的曾孙都在他腰里面，也跟着在献祭啦。
So,
这就是经文的意思。
So the verse 5 basically tells that when Abraham was giving tithe to Melchizedek, his descendant, his grandchildren are in his waist doing the same thing, worshiping Melchizedek.
小弟讲到这样子，你们会不会乱掉
？Are you confused yet？
好，麦基洗德比亚伯拉罕大。
So we see that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham.
亚伯拉罕因为利未在他的腰里面，所以利未比亚伯拉罕小。
And the Levites being in the waist of Abraham, therefore they are smaller or they're inferior to Abraham.
所以后来在旧约时期的所有祭司都比麦基洗德小，这就是三段论证这样出现哦。先记起来。
So therefore, all the Levites later that came along are inferior to Melchizedek.
好，现在开始把耶稣加进来的这个作
者。So now let's put Jesus in this picture.
因为我说耶稣比祭司大，希伯来人不接受嘛，他又不是利未支派的。
Because if you tell them that Jesus is greater than the priest, then nobody would want to believe it because Jesus was not from the Levi tribe.
我们看前面第五节，第五章的第十节。
In verse chapter 5 verse 10.
所以一开始利未记的这个希伯来书的作者就把耶稣 跟麦基喜德做上一个牵连啊。
So from the beginning, the book linked Jesus to Melchizedek.
第十节，并蒙神照着麦基喜德的等次，称他为大祭司，称耶稣为大祭司。
And Jesus was designated the great priest according to by God.
所以这里五六七三章在讲耶稣基督是麦基喜德等次，就是跟他一样平等的大祭司。
So what these three chapters are telling us is that Jesus is in the same level as a high priest as Melchizedek.
结论就出来了。
Now, here comes the conclusion.
所以啊，旧约时期以色列人的整个祭司系统是比耶稣基督的位次还低的，他就是要做这个结论。
And the conclusion is that the whole priest system is inferior or below the level of Jesus Christ, and this is what the author is trying to tell us.
我们现在看五六七三章的 key verses.
So now let's turn our attention to the key verses here in these three chapters.
我们来看七章的二十节到二十四节就是了。
And which is from chapter 7 verses 20 through 24.
再者，耶稣为祭司，并不是不起誓立的。二十一节。至于那些祭司，原不是起誓立的，只有耶稣是起誓立的。因为那立他的对他说：“主起的誓绝不后悔，你是永远为祭司。”二十二节，既是起誓立的，耶稣就做了更美之约的中保。二十三节，那些成为祭司的数目本来多，是因为有死阻隔，不能长久。二十四节，这位祭司永远长存的，他祭司的职任就长久不更换。阿门。所以这里就是这三章的一个结论。
So here are the conclusion of these three chapters.
耶稣远超过旧约时期所有的祭司跟祭司系统。
And Jesus is far greater than all the priests and the priest system in the Old Testament.
因为他的位分跟麦基洗德是一样的。
Because Jesus was in a similar level as Melchizedek.
虽然他是亚伯拉罕的子孙。却大过亚伯拉罕，就是在讲这个。
He's a descendant from Abraham, yet he's far greater than Abraham.
那他为什么不是利未人可以担任祭司呢？因为利未人是借由血脉而来的。
And because Levites are priests through their blood.
他是从肉体的关系才得为祭司。
And they become priests because of the physical body.
耶稣基督不是借由肉体跟支派而来，他是借由灵脉而来的。
On the other hand, Jesus came through from the spiritual sense.
他是神直接启示跟指定的。
He is appointed a high priest by God directly.
所以希伯来书的第三个重点，五六七三章在讲说，耶稣基督超越所有人间的祭司，就是在讲这个。
So the key point here is that Jesus.Surpasses all the priests in the world.
我们来看第八章。
Now let's turn to chapter 8.
这是希伯来书的第四个重点。
This is the fourth key point of this Hebrew.
那小弟再给大家一分钟，你看看第八章，再拿耶稣基督跟什么比较？
Give another minute, see what is this book trying to compare Jesus to.
在三十秒哈。
30 seconds。
好， 好，我们先看到这里哈。
Let's stop here。
那大家觉得第八章在拿耶稣基督跟什么做比较
？So who do you think, chapter 8 is comparing Jesus to？
啊，那这个比较难找一点。来，我们来。
This is a little harder to find。
我们来看第一节跟第二节，八章一二节。
One and two。
我们所讲的是其中第一要紧的，就是我们有这样的大祭司，已经坐在天上至大者宝座的右边。第二节，在圣所就是真帐幕里做执事，这帐幕是主所知的，不是人所知的。Amen。这两节告诉我们，主耶稣在叙述主耶稣在地面上做的工作内容。
These two verses tells us what the job functions are for Jesus in this world。
第一节提到说，我们有这样的大祭司。指的是耶稣基督。
Here it says we do have such a high priest, which is Jesus Christ.
然后第二节提到说，这个大祭司在哪里呢
？And where is he?
他的工作内容是什么呢
？And what does he do?
在圣所，接下来这个圣所这里有解释，就是所谓的真帐幕。
And he serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle.
那耶稣基督对这个圣所所做的有两个工作内容。
So two things that Jesus is doing for this in this sanctuary.
第二节中间说他在这里面做执事。
Here says he serves in the sanctuary.
第二节后面说他不止执事，而且这个真帐幕本身是主耶稣自己去建造、支搭起来的。
And also the sanctuary or the tabernacle was set up by him.
关键在这里，我们所看到这个中文的执事啊，跟现在教会所讲的执事不是一样的，字看起来一样，不是一样的意思啊。
The word serves here in Chinese is the same as deacon, though it means different things.
因为在这里的执事，它指的不是职分而已，它指的是原文指的是仆人跟仆役，这样大家知道吧
？The original language is, serves as a slave or serve as a servant.
所以第二节前半节讲的更翻译的更明白，要怎么翻
？So what is a better translation?
在圣所就是真帐幕里面做仆役、做仆人的意思。
And those who work as a servant in the sanctuary.
好，那现在带领大家想哦，第八章就是指出耶稣基督是仆人，是搭帐幕的。换句话说，他是一个服侍者。
So therefore, this chapter is telling us that Jesus set up the tabernacle and he serves us. He's a server.
所以第八章在比较的时候，耶稣基督超越所有的服侍者。
So chapter A compares Jesus to all the servants and says that he's surpasses all the servants.
那小弟讲到这里，在座有些对圣经比较熟的，可能就会有些 confused， 会有些混乱。
Some of us who are familiar with the Bible may be a little confused here.
因为前面不是提到。天使提到摩西，提到祭司，这些应该都是服侍者啊，对不对
？Because earlier we mentioned angels, the priests, and the Moses. Those are all servant.
都是服侍神的、啊。
They serve God.
那如果这样子，为什么第八章还要再讲服侍者呢？不是重复了吗
？And then why does chapter 8 continue to mention servant? Isn't that redundant?
没有，第八章必须做一个补充，才能够完整。
The reason is chapter 8 wants to have a conclusion for it to be complete.
因为在希伯来人的观念里面，服侍者不只包括先知、天使跟祭司，大家知道吧
？Because in traditional Jewish concept, a servant includes more than just angels,
人跟祭司
and priests.
圣殿里单从圣殿、耶路撒冷的圣殿跟会幕来想就好了。
Just think about the sanctuary.
那里还有很多服侍者，不是这三种哦。
There are many other servants in addition to these three things.
你们有没有听过尼提林？尼提林，哦，旧约就是圣殿的 security guard， 你知道吧
？We know there's security guard in the sanctuary.
都没反应，没听过尼提林吗？我们不翻了，你回去找了哈。在守卫圣殿的保全人员呐、啊。
Those guards, the sanctuary.
那个就不是利未支派，不是祭司，还记得吧
？Those are not Levi, tribe.
还有在圣殿旁边那些挑柴担水的，有没有印象
？Even also there are people who carry the woods and the water.
那些甚至连以色列人都不是，怎么来的？还记得吧
？They're not even Israelite people.
那些也是服侍者，有没有？所以必须把这一些在圣殿旁边里面服侍的都包含进来，才能有完全的比较。
So we need to include all those servants in order to have a more complete comparison.
所以第八章就在告诉我们，耶稣基督也超越了所有这些其他所有服侍神的人。
So therefore, that's the reason why chapter 8 tells us Jesus surpasses all those who serves God.
为什么？因为他是在真正的圣所里面做仆人的，而且这个圣所还是他亲自搭建起来的。
Because Jesus serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by him.
那我问大家，这个真圣所指的是什么？
So what do you think this true tabernacle is referring to?
啊，谢谢，有回应了哈，嘴巴动一动就是有回应啊。
I can tell by just you move your lips.
请看希伯来书九章二十四节。
Hebrew chapter 9 verse 24.
九章二十四节
，Hebrew chapter 9 verse 24。
因为基督并不是进了人手所造的圣所，这不过是真圣所的影像，乃是进了天堂，如今为我们显在神面前。Amen。请念。
Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence.
这一节里面有所谓的圣所跟真圣所，有没有？
Here it talks about sanctuary and the true sanctuary.
所以前面那个圣所指的是原来地面上看得到的圣殿的范围，这样理解吗？
So the sanctuary mentioned earlier was talking and referring to the holy temple.
因为要拿地面上的祭司跟天上永远的祭司比较，就要拿地面的圣殿跟天上永远的圣殿比较。
So in order for you to compare the priest in the world to the true priest in heaven, you have to compare the sanctuary in the world to the sanctuary in heaven.
所以九章二十四节的真圣所指的是哪里？
So what is this true sanctuary referred to in verse 24?
如果这样看，应该指的是这里讲的天堂，是不是？
Then if we look at this way, it's probably referring to the paradise.
对，这里看好像只有讲天堂，可是后面在一个经节又来补充了。
Yet the verse next after this, there's an amendment.
我们请看十章十九节。
Verse chapter 10 verse 10.
所以都一样，在希伯来书里面都解释得一清二楚哦。十章十九节，弟兄们，我们既因耶稣的血得以坦然进入至圣所，阿门。
第几节？
希伯来书十章十九节。
So verse 19, chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus.
这里说，这里你们英文读到的是现在是现在进行式还是完成式？
What sense is this English word, English translation?
这里说我们既因耶稣的血得以坦然，是已经有没有？
This is something that finished already.
还是你们英文版的不一样？我要跟你们请教，我没看英文版的。
What's the
是已经进去的，还是还没有进去过
？Is it about to enter or is it entered already?
啊？你们英文版的是怎么写？
There's different verses. Here NIV says we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Confidence to enter.、
To enter.所以他是说我们已经有证据了，有证据已经进入了哈。好，那从中文读起来，从原文读起来是已经进入了，从希腊原文读起来是已经进入了。
From the Chinese and also the Greek version says we have already entered the most holy place.
那各位，你有去过耶路撒冷的至圣所里面吗
？Have you ever been to Jerusalem and entered the most holy place?
我没有。
I have not.
你已经去过天堂了吗
？Have you been to the paradise？
我没有。
I have not。
可是这里告诉我们，我们靠着耶稣的血进去至圣所了。
Yeah, here tells us through the blood of Jesus Christ we have entered。
那这个至圣所指的是什么
？And what is this most holy place？
就是神降临的地方，就是现在的真耶稣教会，这样理解吗
？When Jesus will come again, which is true Jesus Church。
所以前面第八章所指的。这个圣所跟真帐幕，既指的将来我们要去的天堂，也连接到地面上，在地面上神的国度，就是神的教会，是同体同样的，大家知道吧
So therefore, the sanctuary mentioned in chapter 8 refers to the heavenly kingdom as well as a true Jesus church on earth.
不是在两个地方分开的，我们跟天上是连起来同一个国度的，只不过一部分在天上，一部分还在地面上。
It's just one manifestation is in heaven, the other is on earth.
神的教会就是神的国。
The true Jesus church is the kingdom of heaven.
有神的灵，有神的全能，有神迹奇事。
We have the Holy Spirit, the power and the miracle and signs with us.
现在大家在的这个地方叫做真帐幕、真圣所。
This place is the true tabernacle, the sanctuary.
为什么说我们已经进了至圣所呢？
Why do we say we have already entered?
大家知不知道我们现在的基督徒有特权？
Do we know that we, as Christians, we have a special right?
现在好像有特权不太好了哈。不过我们真的有特权啊！
It may not sound very good to have a special right.
我问大家，旧约神的百姓可不可以直接自己跟神祷告？可不可以？
You think the people in the Old Testament can they pray to God by themselves?
不行哎。
They cannot.
他们要先找祭司除罪献祭，透过祭司再把自己所想要的告诉神。有没有发觉是这样子？
Because they have to go through priests who has to clean them first in order for them to pray.
连大祭司一年一次到两次进至圣所都怕得要死，你们知道吗？
Even the high priest enter the holy, most holy place once or twice a year, they're really scared.
哎，他多怕，他怕到要用腰带绑铃铛进去，还记得吧？
To a point that they have to tie a bell on their waist before they go in.
他进去干什么？进去面见神祷告啊。
What do they do? They enter the place to pray to God.
他为什么？绑腰带、绑铃铛，你们知道吗
？Why do they tie a bell to their waist? Do you know?
因为那个是 mission impossible 啊，进去可能出不来的。
Very likely they may not be able to come out on their feet.
因为我不知道我身上是不是有神不喜悦，万一进去死在里面了，哎，怎么没有铃铛呢？要把尸体拉出来，没有人敢进去啊。
If they have problem with them, they may die in there, and people, when they do not hear the bell, they will pull him out.
各位，你们看我们现在。多感谢神，我们有特权。
So we comparatively have a special right.
现在你要跟神说话，不用透过传道、长老、执事，你知道吗
？You don't have to go through the elders or the pastors.
你不管在什么地方
，No matter where we are,
只要手一举起来，用心
，Just raise your hand, use your heart.
马上就可以坦然无惧进到施恩的宝座前。
You can enter the throne of grace right away.
各位，我们。现在24小时，因为耶稣基督的血，我们24小时都在至圣所里面，你们了解吗
？Do you understand that because of the blood of Jesus, we are in the most holy place, the sanctuary, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
所以我们比旧约的大祭司还要怎么说？还美好。
So we're even more blessed than the high priest in the Old Testament.
你现在到。神的宝座前跟他开口讲话，他不会干掉你啊。
Because if you come here to say things to God, God will not kill you right away.
因为他看到你身上有耶稣基督的宝血，他会消除他的愤怒。
Because the blood, the Jesus blood on your body will take away the wrath of God.
甚至因为耶稣的代死，连慕道者连没有洗过脸都可以随时向他祷告。
Because of this blood, even true seekers can come to pray to God.
所以第八章在比较。耶稣超越一切的服事者。
So therefore, chapter 8 tells us that Jesus surpasses all servants.
因为他建造了。
Because he has set up.
他也在这里面服事，所以他建立神的教会，服事弟兄姐妹。
In the sanctuary, and he set up the church and served all the brothers and sisters.
我们看第五个重点。
Now let's turn to the fifth.
就是九章第一节到十章十八节。
Verse chapter 9.And verse and chapter 10 to verse 18.
好，小弟再给大家一分钟。你看九章一节到十章十八节在比较什么
？Now let's take another minute to see what is this comparing Jesus to.
好，再30秒哈。
30 seconds.
好，那我问大家，九章一直到十章十八节，主要一直在讲哪个部分
？So what is this two chapters talking about? 9 and 10 till verse 18.
对，献祭。
Sacrifice.
从一开始讲的献祭，一直到后面再讲祭物，有没有？这就是第五个比较。
This is the fifth comparison.
简单的一个结论就是，耶稣基督超越人世间所有的献祭跟祭物，在讲这个东西。
So to put it simply, Jesus surpasses all the sacrifices in this world.
所以里面很多比较啊，旧约的祭要常常献。
In the Old Testament, for example, they had to give sacrifice very often.
主耶稣一次献就完成了。
Yet Jesus only sacrificed once for all.
我们来看关键的经节，看完就结束了哈。
Let's just read through the key verses.
我们看十章十节跟十一节。
Verse 10 and 11 in chapter 10.
我们凭着旨意靠耶稣基督只一次献上他的身体，就得以成圣。十一节。凡祭司天天站着侍奉神，屡次献上一样的祭物，这祭物永不能除罪。十二节。
12.
但基督献了一次永远的赎罪祭，就在神的右边坐下了。Amen。所以他在比较耶稣基督，是将自己当成那个祭，最完美的祭，一次就结束完成了。
So here we can see that Jesus sacrificed himself once and for all.
所有人类历史以来所有的祭物，没有一样比得上这一个的祭物的。
So nothing in human history or sacrifice can compare to this sacrifice.
好，那么来做一个结论哦。从第一章第一节到十章十八节，就是小弟讲的希伯来书的第一大段。
So therefore, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 10, verse 18, is the first main section of this book.
第一大段在讲五个耶稣基督的超越性。
This section is talking about five surpasses.
耶稣基督超越所有的天使。
Jesus surpasses all angels.
耶稣基督超越希伯来人最伟大的先知摩西。
Jesus surpasses the greatest prophet Moses.
耶稣基督超越人间所有的祭司。
Jesus Christ passes all human priests.
耶稣基督超越所有的服侍神的人。
Jesus surpasses all servants.
第五个，耶稣基督超过一切献给神的所有的祭物，他是最完美的祭物。
And the fifth, Jesus Christ surpasses all sacrifices.
神借着希伯来书作者一直到这里，让我们更完整的、更深刻的认识到了耶稣基督的超越性。
So up to this point, the book of Hebrews understand.How the nature of Jesus Christ, how he surpasses everything.
可是如果这一封信只写到这里，那就没有什么意思。
However, if the letter stops here, it will not be very meaningful.
我问大家，认识耶稣基督是不是我们的目的？
Let me ask you this question: Is it our purpose to get to know Jesus?
其实不是。
That is not the purpose.
你去问法利赛人、文士、经师，他们对于神的认识深不深刻
？If you go ask a Pharisees or teacher of the law, do they know the Bible?
他们有多少著作在描述他们所敬拜的独一真神
？You know how many books they have written to describe this God that they worship?
所以，如果我们只是更深、更完整的了解耶稣基督。这还是不够的，这样理解吗
？It's also not enough for us just to understand better what Jesus, who Jesus was.
希伯来书的作者为什么希望我们了解超越的耶稣基督？为了要达成一个真正的目的。
So the book of Hebrews wants us to understand the key point after we understand Jesus Christ's nature of surpassing.
其实也是希伯来书真正写信的目的。
And this is the true purpose of this letter.
就是从十章十九节一直到最后，希望我们成为更超越的基督徒，就是这个目的而已。
Which is from verse 19 of chapter 10 all the way to the end, he wants us to become a surpassing Christian as well.
如果我们只是一直谈神、一直讲神，对神认识很彻底，我们自己却也不实践、也不进步，这样有用吗
？Is it useful at all for us to just understand Jesus without us? acting out without us making any progress ourselves.
那到后来，我们训练出一批新约的法利赛人。
If we do that, then we'll be just like a Pharisees in the New Testament.
我们来看十章十九节。
Chapter 10, verse 19.
那这里有一个语气转折点。
Here's a turning point.
有没有？十九节说，弟兄们，我们既因耶稣的血得以坦然进入至圣所，这个转折点就是开始呼吁了。希腊原文叫做呼格，呼吁了。
There's a word that says sings, and this is where the author started to ask.
前面大部分都是在讲述耶稣基督，突然从这里开始面对弟兄姐妹，一直在呼吁，一直在呼吁。你从这里读到后来，你会发现是这个样子。
From this point on, the author turns from the key concept of Jesus to a calling for the disciples.
从十章十九节开始，讲论的对象从耶稣基督变成我们跟你们，你们会去慢慢看呐，哈。
If you read carefully,
整个风格都变了。
The focus of the chapter of the verses turn from Jesus to you and me.
对，因为我们如果知道我们所认识、相信的是一个完美超越的耶稣基督，那我们自己也要变成一个更好、更超越的基督徒。这就是希伯来书信的最终目的啊。
Because the book is trying to tell us, if we understand the true nature of Jesus Christ, we shall be like Him as well.
那从这里的第二大段落，十章十九节开始到最后。又可以分成三个重点，我们这三个简单讲完就休息了啦，哈。
So second key main section, we can divide that into three key points as well.
首先，第一个，也就是第二大段落的第一个重点是十九节一直到十章三十九节。
From verse 19 to verse 39 of chapter 10.
来，这一段经文其实刚好有一个结论。
And there's one conclusion from here.
来看一下好了哈。大家看二十二节，十章二十二节。
Chapter 10, verse 22.
并我们心中天良的亏欠已经洒去，身体用清水洗净了，就当存着诚心和充足的信心来到神面前。这个不要念了，我看时间不够，好不好
？We're running out short on time.
你看这一节里面就提到两个心，有没有发现
？It mentioned two things about heart.
一个是诚心。
One is the heart of sincere,
一个是充足的信心
or the other one is a faith.
我们再看，二十四节
，verse 24.
又要彼此相顾，激发爱心，勉励行善。这里大家有没有发现第三个心
？Here talks about love.
好，没时间了哈。你们从这里找到三十七八节，你会发觉这里面有七种心。
If you go all the way to verse 37, 38, there are seven good characters here.
希伯来书的作者告诉我们，我们要追求这七种心，好成为什么样的人呢？
And what kind of person do we want to be when we pursue after those three seven characters?
成为三十九节这种人。
And we're going to be the person you mentioned in 39.
我们请看三十九节。
Verse 39.
我们却不是退后入沉沦的那种人，乃是有信心以致灵魂得救的人。所以十章十九节到三十九节讲的七种心，可以让我们成为灵魂得救的人。
So therefore, all those seven characters that we mentioned will enable us to become someone who believe and be saved.
那这七种心其实都不是新的。
And those are not new.
小弟对照，我把研究结果告诉你，你回去再慢慢翻啦，不然讲好几节。
So that you can go home and read on your own.
如果你们有印象的话，可以去看马太福音第五章。
Chapter five.
我们说耶稣的登山宝训有没有第一段
？Matthew chapter five, the teaching on the mountain.
其实。马太福音第五章，主耶稣讲的这里面，也包含了这七种心的特质哦，全部一模一样，顺序不一样。
Characters in chapter five, even though they're in different orders.
我们现在没有办法一一对照，所以这里跟主耶稣讲的是一样的。
And this is the same thing as what Jesus has told us.
这可以互相对照。
We can compare them.
所以，当我们努力追求这七种 圣徒应该有的心，我们就会成为灵魂得救的人，就是这样子。
So the conclusion, if we go after those seven characters, then we'll become somebody who believe and be saved.
可是这个灵魂得救的人，一直到十章三十九节之前讲的就是观念很抽象的啊。
So far, it's been quite abstract.
哇，有人就会觉得说，那你讲这七种心？没有那么容易耶，有人做得到吗？
Then you start to wonder whether anybody can do this. This kind of sounds pretty hard.
所以接下来就是希伯来书十一章这整章的内容了。
So then, chapter 11 follows.
那十一章我们看到了很多见证，有没有？
You know, chapter 11 tells us many testimonies.
哦，十一章一开始最有名的一句话就是：“信就是所望之事的实底，是未见之事的确据。”
It's a very famous verse says here, now faith is being assured of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
接下来一个引言 introduction 就是第二节。
And verse 2 is the introduction.
古人在这信上得了美好的证据。
Ancients were commanded, this is what the ancients were commanded for.
接下来就开始讲这些古人在信心上的古人。
And they continue to talk about all the people in the old time.
从亚伯开始，第四节。
Started from Abram.
那你们是亚伯，不是亚伯拉罕。然后一直慢慢讲，慢慢讲，讲到十一章结束，以色列人还有其他现在的。
Chapter 11.
小弟是把这整个十一章分成十二类，就是刚好有十二个例子在里面。
There are 12 examples in this chapter.
各位，这十二个例子哈，回去你把这里面讲的因信因信。他这个因信所呈现出来，他这个见证是在印证信仰上的哪一个特质
？If you look at those 12 examples, the people did things by faith. What characters are they talking about?
我们会得到一个结论。
There's one conclusion.
十一章这些例子，你把他的特质都列出来，完全在见证前面圣徒的七种心，就是在讲说。历史上有人都把这些做到了，这个意思。
Then you realize that these 12 examples are just tells you that people have done this thing already. These three, seven characters I mentioned in chapter 11, chapter 10.
所以十章后面在讲灵魂得救者的七种心。
In chapter 10, mentioned the seven characters of people who are saved.
十一章在讲说。历史上曾经把这七种心都表现出来的实际见证是哪些
？And then in chapter 11, give us 12 examples of people who have already practiced characters.
所以他告诉我们，既然有人做到了，我们这些亲爱的弟兄姐妹，我们也可以做到，就是这个意思。
So the point here is that since people have done this already, we can do the same thing.
然后进入十二章。
Now It goes into chapter 12.
十二章是整个希伯来书的第七个重点。
And this chapter is the seventh key point of the book.
简单结论就是当拥有超越的苦难观。
We should have a understanding of hardship that transcends everything else.
有没有？十二章一开始在讲苦难这些事情。
Chapter 12 talks about the sufferings that we have.
一到四节在讲面对苦难操练的方法。
And verses 1 through 4 tells us the ways we can exercise ourselves in face of hardship.
十二章的五到十三节在讲要体会苦难操练的美好意美好旨意。
And verses 5 through 12 tells us that we need to understand the true, beautiful will behind the hardship.
十四节到十七节在讲要胜过苦难操练的提醒。
And from verses 14 on tells us we need to triumph over the hardship.
十八节到二十九节。
From 18 to 29.
讲的是坚立于苦难当中的正确心态。
Is the correct mentality we should have in our hardship.
所以我们要成为。更超越的基督徒，我们要有正确的苦难观，要勇敢面对苦难，在做准备了哦。
So therefore, in order for us to be a Christian that surpasses everything, we should understand hardship and have a correct concept here.
一直到最后一章十三章开始。
Until The last chapter was chapter 13.
前面十章后半段在讲灵魂得救的人。
Earlier we talk about people who are saved.
小弟相信我们今天在座各位，大家都是灵魂得救的人。
We believe every one of us here are saved as well.
可是希伯来书不只希望这样。
However, the book of Hebrew does not stop here.
他不只希望我们灵魂得救而已。
Does not stop at just having our souls being saved.
因为我们的耶稣基督是这么的超越。
Because our Jesus Christ passes so much.
我们如果真的认识了，我们不止灵魂要得救，我们要成为更好、更美的、更超越的基督徒。
In addition to having our souls being saved, we need to become a better or more transcending Christian.
这就是十三章第一节到十九节的内容。
This is what is mentioned in.Chapter 13, verses 1 through 19.
更美圣徒的表现。
A more beautiful disciple.
刚好从这里面啊，也可以找出七种特质来。
Again, we can find seven characters among here.
跟十章那七种圣徒的心，刚好一对一做比较，都是更进步、更超越、更好的。
And compared to the seven characters mentioned in chapter 10, we see they're all one by one correspondence, and they're even better.
因为时间关系，我简单念一下这七个更好的啦，要不然这样也没头没尾的，那就赶快结束了。
I will just mention the seven improved characters to you briefly.
比如说十三章一二节
，verses 1 to 2，
要从诚实无畏的心进到变爱心待人
，from a unselfish heart to a heart to truly and to truly take strangers.
然后第三节还有十八跟十九节
and verse 18 and 19.
十三章在讲说我们要追求自己全备的信仰，除了自己得救之外。
In addition to having ourselves been saved.
我们要变更好的基督徒，要愿所有的人都得救，要出去传福音，这是更好的。
We need to be a better Christian such that.We want everybody else to be saved, so we want to go preach.
如果只追求自己得救，会得救。
If you want to strive for your own salvation, yes, that can is doable.
如果你希望变成更美的基督徒，你还要希望所有的人都得救。
If you want to be a better Christian, then you want everybody else to be saved as well.
好，那十三章第四节，对照第十章，不只要讲爱心。
In addition to love mentioned in chapter 10,
这个第四节那个爱还是必须要讲圣洁的爱，这是更美的。
Chapter 4 mentioned a love that is more pure.
好，第五节到第六节
，verse 5 and 6,
从前面要有警醒的心，到更好的是知足的心。
A alert heart or a heart that's
警醒到知足满足。
To something that can be easily satisfied.
为什么？因为警醒就是希望不要犯错嘛。
A heart that is alert is so that we are careful not to make mistakes.
那如果你常常满足的话，你就不容易受诱惑，不是更好，更不容易犯错吗
？However, if we're content with what we have, then we do not make mistakes at all to begin with.
这本来讲都要讲很多节的，我们很快带过七到十四节。
7 to 14，
要从恐惧战惊的态度。到这里所讲的坚固不摇动的态度。
From a fearful heart to a heart that's fast, steadfast.
十五节到十六节。
15 to 16。
要从面对神的安排，甘心无怨言。
From something that's accepting to God without any complaint.
到这里，更美的圣徒怎么样？甚至面对神的苦难。都能够颂赞感谢，我比甘心无怨言更美啦，还要颂赞感谢。
Higher level that we can give praises and thanksgiving even in face of hardship.
一直到第七点，最后十七节。
17。
从前面十章所讲的，从行为上的刻苦忍耐。
From our perseverance in our daily lives.
到这里十七节所讲的。十七节所讲的不只是行为忍耐，要从心里彻底的依从顺服。
And verse going to the level in verse 17 says submit ourselves to the authority completely.
好，这就是我们对于希伯来书十三章两大分段八个重点，前面五个，后面三个。
So here, therefore, we have this two big sections. There are five different key points in the first section and three key points in the second section.
我们今天晚上用波音747的速度很快把它讲过了啊。
Tonight we fly through this 13th chapter with a speed of 747.
不管大家领受多少，我希望主耶稣引导，让我们大家都有一点点获得了哈。
At least I hope that everybody can learn something tonight.
我们明天要讲希伯来书从头到尾贯穿的一个最重要的主题。
So tomorrow we'll talk about the very key point that goes from the beginning all the way to the end for this book of Hebrew.
这个主题一讲完，大概就可以交代了了哈。
And after once you understand that key theme, then we're okay.
好，抱歉，时间我们超过，我们现在
sorry, it took a little too long.
就不唱诗，一起跪下来做感谢祷告。
Now let's all kneel down, give thanks, prayer.
啊，如果小弟讲的不够，你听不懂，请大家赦免小弟啊。
Please forgive me if you are confused by the teaching tonight.
为我们的灵恩布道会，为我们教会的灵恩布道会。
Please. Pray for our spiritual convocation.
啊，也为那一些我们知道有需要的人。
And all those who we know that needs prayer.
啊，一起跪下祷告。
Kneel down and pray together.
谢谢。